Hello. Okay, good morning. Jesus, this is not ideal. They're dealing with some software issues somewhere in the studio. Ben is here though.
Soft and hard issues, I would go with.
I often joke that like stupid people, which we have a major problem with in this country, there are a lot of stupid people who are damaged hardware people, and then you get people who haven't uploaded enough software. I'm at the moment trying to decide what the producers are on the show, but there we go. Good Friday morning. I hope you're ready to start your day, and I hope you are in a good mood and feeling happy because it is the weekend and we are in summer, and there are plenty of reasons to smile and plenty of reasons to laugh. Ben has also got some sport for us this morning,
Good weekend ahead.
and yeah, lots to talk about. So, I don't know if you've been paying attention, if you haven't, but in America, there's an election coming.
Yay.
It does affect everybody, as
Of
I
course it
spoke
does,
about the
yeah.
other day. So, I mean, people are. You know, either you're into it or you're not, and that's absolutely fine. Some people can give a shit about it. But I do think it's tremendous entertainment, if nothing else. I mean, this week, probably the best troll in, oh God, I don't think I've ever seen politics, trolling in politics at the level that Donald Trump is perpetuating it now. It's just fucking amazing. He's got this, I know you must have seen the videos or the clips so far or the pictures of him in the garbage man outfit. So what happened was senile, crazy old Joe Biden. I don't know why, but someone asked him something. I mean, I thought he was pushed out into the nursing home
Yeah, me
already,
too.
but he's clearly still there to do more damage
Right.
if you need him. And Donald Trump was out at his rally in Madison Square Garden. He had a comedian there who made a joke about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage, which is hilarious because Puerto Rico is a bit rubbishy. And I can say that because I don't give a shit about Puerto Rican votes. Anyway, people laughed, but the left-wing media went crazy. They're like, oh, how could you say that about Puerto Rico? You must be racist and all this sort of shit.
Well, they've always been completely humorless, so yeah.
Correct. And Donald Trump then kind of disassociated himself from that, said, this is not something I'm involved with. It's a comedian. I don't tell him what jokes to tell. It's a comedian. What do you expect? What do you want me to say? And Joe Biden then went unprovoked onto camera and said, well, I think it's just disgusting and reprehensible. And I come from Delaware and started talking shit. And then suddenly, eventually ended up going like, and Puerto Rico is not garbage. Donald Trump supporters are garbage. Or something to that effect.
Which is mean.
It's terrible. I mean, that's so mean. What a horrible joke for that asshole to make, right? Anyway, so Trump ups the ante. He gets dressed in a garbage man's reflector jacket. His team hires a garbage truck, and he does a press conference from the garbage truck. Which is just amazing. I mean, I absolutely love it. It's the greatest troll.
There was something so beautiful about his self-tanned face, that high-vis safety jackets,
And
and
the
the
white
white
eye
garbage.
makeup.
So I started this process about 2 months ago because, I mean, I'm a natural conservative because I've got a brain. But I wanted to be, I didn't want to take a side in this election. I just wanted to see how things play out. And I can't help it. I'm on social media a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I just think that it's such a weird election, and that it's polarizing in many ways, but what has the other side with Kamala actually given hope for? Other than the fact that we're telling you how bad that guy is, and if you're with us, you don't get the bad guy. It's just not even an argument. It's not.
It isn't, but also you pointed out just now what really drives me crazy about these guys is they selectively choose what they think we should be able to laugh at and what we shouldn't.
At the worst,
And
yeah.
inherently, they have no sense of humor.
No.
Like, can you imagine Kamala Harris telling a joke? I don't think she has a single time. I don't think she's capable of self-deprecating humor. I mean, the funniest thing is that Trump goes up on stage at a rally somewhere in Green Bay, like Wisconsin, and he's wearing the reflector jacket and he says, you know, let me tell you the story of why I'm wearing this jacket. And he talks about how the team said to him, wear this jacket. And he was like, I prefer my suit jacket. And they said to him, oh, you look so thin. And then he loved it. He's like, oh, well, then I'm going to wear it all the time. And he has been. He's been wearing it nonstop ever since. But what he's saying when he says that is like, he's a bit fat and he's a bit old. He talked about getting up on the first step of the garbage truck and how it's up here. And he went, shit, I'm not going to make it. But luckily, he goes, of course, I had a bit of adrenaline and I got up there and I was very, very relieved. And he says, if I don't do it, if I'm slow, if I don't get it right, the step is here. He goes, they're going to call me cognitively impaired or something. He's just got a sense of humor. And that Carmela, I don't think she's capable of making anyone laugh. I don't think she's ever made anyone laugh. Look at her husband. He's the most miserable man you've ever seen.
I just want a sign of intelligence, and the best way, and it's not just the company I keep, but if you have a sense of humor, if you have the ability to formulate a joke, it means you have an understanding of your subject matter around you, you've got good social awareness, and you've got confidence to give a point about something. I've never seen any of that from that side. And then people go, oh, Joe Rogan's just glazing Trump and now Vance. Joe said...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Joe Rogan had J.D. Vance on his, on his show. And apparently that's even better than the Trump one. I don't know. I haven't listened to that one. I told you about what I thought of the Trump one when we spoke about this, I think, on Wednesday or on Monday or whatever. But, I mean, if you accuse Joe Rogan of now doing campaigning for these guys when he is one of many Americans... like my friend Eric Weinstein, who just will not commit to anyone, right? Yeah. He's trying to toe the middle line. I mean, Joe Rogan, Trump again, joked with him and said, hey, you really should endorse me.
Yeah.
It would be a good idea to endorse me. And Rogan's like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'd rather sit on the fence.
Exactly. So then he's offered that same opportunity to be one of the most heard interviews in the world to Kamala and Tampon Tim. And have they been on?
Tampon Tim is the greatest nickname.
But like, what else is there to say about him? Do you want to call him Lying Tim?
Mm-mm.
Commie Tim?
Tampon Tim.
Tampon Tim is probably one of his best.
It's so great. Hanging out with Jay says, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, they're eating the goddamn pets. Oh, man. I do like this comment from Congo Chris, who's usually very good in the morning, says, despite all of Kamala's flaws, there is one reason that she shouldn't be president. She's a woman, and we're living in a world of escalating Islamic extremism. Now, that's true.
That's pretty astute.
Yeah, I've got to say, there was a story published yesterday on Instagram, and I retweeted it or reshared it. What do you even say about that for Instagram? Anyway, it's like, it says... the Taliban bans women from hearing other women's voices. And it's got a whole bunch of women in burqas. And I said, and yet, not a word from the third wave feminists of the first world. You know?
Yeah. Tricky one, that, because they? You cannot be anti-Islamic, but yet women then... Women's rights are always so secondary. It's like on the back burner for so many people.
Even
it's
to
so
women.
Pathetic.
Even
it's
to
so
women. Pathetic. Women are like, if we're going to get called racist, then beat the women.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That is.
It's like they talk about, what is it, intersectional stuff. But if there's an intersection where the victim is higher up on the victim hierarchy than you are,
yes.
Well, then fuck you.
That victim hierarchy is hugely important.
I mean, massive.
I'm surprised Kamala hasn't come out with that and said, look, we've created the victim hierarchy so you know where you stand and you know what to be in behind.
And you know what's coming.
But it's, look, a friend of mine said to me the other day, and I totally agree with him, is that if you're a decent enough human being and you can't actually say, I support Trump, and because another thing we must remember is that the South Park episode around the elections is still the gold standard of how you approach an election.
Right.
You've got a turd sandwich and a douche. You're never going to have your dad or your perfect role model or whatever. You've got two candidates, and you must be an adult about who you back between those two. You don't go, oh, but this guy's this... Like Arnold Schwarzenegger put out the longest, most drippy...
I mean, I read the first three paragraphs and I'd had enough. I
just want to say I can't support Trump, but I do like Kamala and I want to vote for Kamala, but I don't want to be partisan.
You're like...
Drippy queef.
But honestly, I mean, like, who's waiting for a celebrity endorsement? I joked with this with Joe Mann on Wednesday. No one on earth is sitting there waiting for a newspaper to endorse someone. No one on earth is waiting for Barbara Streisand or who was the one that they trotted out the other day? Big Mike. No one wants to know. No one cares about these celebrities. Robert De Niro, like, we need him. He pretends for a living. Are we going to worry about these people? That live in an ivory tower. They've never had any I mean, they don't even do their own shopping. They don't know what the cost of anything is. Are we going to take these people and input their thoughts into who we vote for in any country, anywhere? It's like when, you know, if Mafiki Zolo tell us they're going to vote ANC, I'm like, well, that changes everything, you know?
But then there's the other way of looking at it. Like, this is just a reality TV show. And just like people engage online about reality TV shows. Oh my gosh, they're bringing this person back or this person. This is all this thing is. And it's news cycles and it's a frenzy. And it grabs our attention every 4 years.
So here's Biden. Just by the way, this guy, Jesus. I mean, they're very lucky they got rid of him. But I think they've kind of got an even worse proposition now. Because if Kamala doesn't win, first of all, here's my prediction. You will never see her again. She will be thrown into that garbage truck of Donald Trump's and you will never see her again. She'll be memory-holed faster than anything you've ever seen. Gone. You'll never, her name will be erased from the history books. That's what'll happen. But look at this guy. He's still out there interfering.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how...
Okay, old man.
Going back to Arnold's, that drippy queef of an ex-hero, he was talking about saying that calling America garbage is un-American, but this guy now said that half of the country, essentially Donald supporters, are garbage.
Yeah. Do you remember when Hillary?
Never keeping track anymore.
Remember when Hillary called Republicans a basket of deplorables?
Yeah.
And then even people who were on Hillary's side were like, you know what? That sounds a little bit shitty for like people's brothers and sisters and moms and uncles and people who are in their family who are going to be voting the other way. I mean, either you are American and you have respect for everybody, or you think. People who don't think like you are garbage. I mean, that's how it goes, right? Well, not great. So I'll tell you who is garbage is P. Diddy. And I wonder, like, how many people are just desperately afraid that they're going to be on the Diddy lists, like people were scared of the Epstein lists, because, you know, Beyonce was trotted out the other day, talk about celebrity endorsements, and she said she's voting for Kamala. I reckon they said, listen, I mean, you better come and do this, or we'll tell them about the Diddy parties. And same with Jennifer Lopez, who I hear she's currently being paraded around. J-Lo, who needed to hear from her? I mean, Affleck will pay you money not to listen to
her. But now this is why I say it's like a TV show, because if Trump wins or Kamala wins, what does that mean for the Diddy list? Is one side going to get us closer to seeing it? And does one... Because I would then vote for, the thing is, in Kamala's time, I think it will just be hidden under the rug.
Definitely.
Just like Hillary did with
that. All her supporters are...
All those pedophiles.
It's not people in Midwest America who don't get invited to celebrity parties.
Well, then I officially come out today as a sports podcaster and I endorse Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
Because I want to see the Diddy list and I want to see justice.
So Ben is doing what Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't. When did Arnold become so soft? I mean, he used to be the coolest guy.
He did.
He had pet tigers and giraffes.
In the 70s,
He was the coolest guy in the whole of America. How did he become such a douchebag?
Don't fuck your nanny.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I mean, that's Kamala's husband's problem, too. He also fucked the nanny. No, he did. Doug Emhoff. By the way, have you seen his...
Was the nanny a man?
No, but this is funny. Okay, so... This is a clip that's come up a couple of times in my feed, and I always miss it, and then I have to go back and try and find it and record it, but I found it finally. Isn't it weird how guys who pretend they're women, what do you call them, trans women? I can never remember. Is it trans men, trans women? Whatever. Isn't it funny how whenever they get cross, they turn back into men immediately?
Yeah.
So this is one on a college campus somewhere. There's a guy interviewing this person, and... They lose their shit completely. They like push the guy and it gets very aggressive. And then out comes the male voice. Like,
I'm gonna fuck you up, man.
Watch this.
The fuck out of my face now.
Ooh,
now.
That was very rude of you.
Get the fuck out of my face.
Do you want to go to jail? Sir, ma'am, I don't really know what to call you.
You're fucking done, man.
I'm done.
Get the fucking police, you just insulted me.
Well, listen here, pal. I mean, you are gonna go to jail.
And I could fucking tell the police to get you.
I'm vegan, so don't say that. Listen.
You told me he, man. You really get the fuck out of my way right now.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
You do not have a release. I will sue you.
You're gonna sue him? Don't sue him, man, because we're trying to just.
I don't have a. You do not have a release. If you fucking post this, I will destroy you. I will destroy you.
Just keep going on. I got my crew with me now. I got my crew. Yeah. What's up? Woo!
Who won? Who's next?
I love it. But there's not even, you see, as soon as that person becomes emotional, all pretense is dropped, right? Like suddenly. That. Yeah, of course, it's dress up. It's cosplay. It's cosplay.
It's all long Halloween.
So all actors drop, the voice comes out, I'm gonna kill you, man. He even like grabs his jacket like he's gonna rip it off, you know?
Puffing out his fake chest.
Yeah, it's like, come on, the hell's wrong with you? Oh, speaking of the Diddy party. It's helping the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a life. I'm going to have to stop it there, otherwise they'll flag it for copyright. But yes, they have changed the title of Eminem's song, Lose Yourself, to Lube Yourself, in honor of P. Diddy.
Very important.
Just very, very good.
You're on the receiving end of Hollywood. You've got to lube yourself.
I know, James. You've got it working.
I do.
Yeah, all right. James has just burst in. Yeah, but we already started here, and I'm not going to move now, otherwise we have an interruption.
That's okay. It's up to you.
Yeah, no. We'll carry on here until 7 o'clock. That's fine. In any case, Ben and I are having fun. Okay. See, James, we don't even need you.
Thanks, James.
Okay, I'll go home. Have a
don't go home, because then what will you do for an income? Okay, watch this.
15 million Americans are not garbage. This week, Kamala has been comparing her political opponents to the most evil mass murderers in history. And now, speaking on a call for her campaign last night, crooked Joe Biden finally said what he and Kamala really think of our supporters. He called them garbage. No way. No way! My response to Joe and Kamala is very simple. You can't lead America if you don't love Americans. That's true.
Ah, that's a good line. You can't lead America if you don't love Americans.
For all the showmanship and all the stuff that Donald is famous for, the guy, I think, genuinely has a good heart for this kind of stuff, and he actually cares about America.
I don't think that matters.
I mean, I know it doesn't matter, but I think if you were to look past the whatever is going on of the politicking, this guy does actually. You listen to that podcast he did with Andrew Schultz, the Rogan podcast. I thought was boring.
Because I didn't see the show.
I think Joe isn't what he used to be. I think he's so set in what he does. Whereas that Andrew Schultz, the Flagrant podcast, that's the best Donald podcast by some distance. And just listen to the guy. He's a good human. He's just fun.
I think people have got to stop looking to politicians to be the daddy that they never had.
Sure.
Or the mommy they never had. Or like, here's Rosie O'Donnell, okay? She's just a really broken down human being. I mean, there's no other way to put it. She is, and I used this description in a post yesterday. She's a high entropy human being. You know what entropy is? Entropy
really.
Is the tendency for things to turn to disorder.
Right.
So if you're high entropy, you're a system that is becoming more and more disordered. If you don't look after your house, and it starts to fall apart and the walls start crumbling and then the roof caves in and the floors get broken, and that's your house is becoming a high entropy environment.
Right, okay.
So she's a high entropy person. She's
sure,
basically she's disordered, and she's a total flaming nutcase, and she posts these videos. I mean, first of all, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, she doesn't need the attention. She doesn't need the money. She's very happy with that wife of hers. They've adopted children. But she insists, like Joe Biden does, of putting out these videos that no one asks for. And she looks terrible in all of them. She says stupid things, and she's a chocolate fireplace. She's just a disaster from beginning to end. So watch this.
Okay, so how's everybody's nerves about this election? You know, let's say on a scale of 10 being can't think of anything else and may need some additional medication. I'm like at a 7. I'm at a 7. So that's all right. I can handle a 7. I'm trying not to watch so much of the news now. I'm trying to recite that amazing prayer you do in Al-Anon and AA about, you know, the wisdom to know the difference between the things you can and cannot change. And, you know, if you voted, if you donated, if you could, whatever you did, you participated. And now, you know, we got a week left to worry. And then it's in someone else's hands, you know.
So I made the point on social media this week that I'm really excited about next week, because you're going to see people like that, this just broken down human being who admits that she'll have to go on more medication. You're going to see her completely fall into a heap. You're going to see people screaming into the sky. Here's what will happen. As much as I think it would be great for America if Trump wins, if he doesn't, guess what? I'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, politics is not the only thing in my life. I will have things to moan about, like I do now. I'll have things to laugh about, like I do now. My world will carry on. But someone like Rosie O'Donnell, I mean, it's kind of, that video should be used in court to prevent people like that from ever having custody of children. She's a total disaster of a human being. And she shows that politics is so important in her life that she's actually considering getting stronger meds, which may just knock her out. When she's got primary school age children that need care. No, I know. I know she's probably got a servant to do that. She's got someone who like nannies the kids because she couldn't be bothered. She's too busy making videos that no one wants to see of close-ups of her fucking old face talking about how deranged she is about an election. But this proves again, like, these people don't have meaning in their life. Like, they don't have a thing to, and she should. She's got kids. You know, that's a good reason to wake up and like, make the day. Can you imagine how worried those kids are every time they leave home? They're like, Mom, well, of course Mom not, might just kill herself today. Mom, you know, if Donald Trump wins, who knows whether we'll get lunch on that day or not?
I don't think those kids are worried because they're so highly medicated.
Probably. They're probably just like their mom. But what a disaster of a human being, really. I mean, you see Rosie O'Donnell and you just think, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, but Gareth, you know, all those things you said now, that's coming from a balanced pod bro. And that's the thing about us pod bros. That. We're actually very well-adjusted, happy people.
Do you know why Ben's bringing this up, right? So, let me just find this, because this is funny.
I find it's
just explain the context while I find these clips, or these little bits and pieces.
Look, going back to this whole thing about the election and all the smearing of characters, is that it's now been seen as a slur to call someone a pod bro, which I think is totally fine, because I know everybody who's a guy who's become a podcaster internationally, they're very well-respected people, and they're very well orientated people.
They can speak off the cuff. They've got opinions.
They've got network. They've got influence. And they're all in good shape. None of them are fat. None of them have blue hair. They're good people doing something and influence people positively.
Well, pod bro is an insult. Let me show you where this comes from. So Max Dupria, a washed up old journalist who my former producer Damon Calvari came to the defense of, which should tell you everything you need to know about both those people. Max Dupria tweeted this out the other day. Is Trump's lapdog, with a picture of Elon, like that, just so you know I'm not making it up. Is Trump's lapdog already making excuses just in case Trump loses and preparing the ground for another violent attack on the Capitol in January? This is from Max Dupria, supposedly acclaimed journalist. Okay, and he was at a time. I mean, Max used to be a very long time ago, like 70s and 80s. He used to be a voice of reason. He was a very solid guy. You could depend on him to tell the truth, stand up to the old regime, Freya Vietblatt and all of that stuff. And yes, Max carved out a very good reputation for himself. And up to a while ago, Max was unassailable. I'll admit that. And I actually respected the guy a lot. Now, he's got everything wrong. Okay, so let me just show you what happens then. So I just say this. Like, I'm kind of, I had a bit of time on my hands. So I said, I love the way someone who's been so demonstrably wrong, referring to Max, Cyril, COVID, Trump, elections, because he's got all of those things wrong, right? He was massively into COVID. He believed that government should be ruling our lives from, and there's articles to prove this. You don't have to believe me. Go and look him up and you'll see for probably the last 10 to 15 years, everything Max Dupree has predicted and said has been wrong. Wrong. It's not me being horrible to him. I didn't want him to be. I mean, before that, I thought he was great. So I wanted him to carry on being great. But some people can't keep being great. And maybe they have a drinking problem. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, I can't believe that someone who's been so demonstrably wrong has the hubris to call a guy who has done all the things that Elon has done a lapdog. You have to have some pretty big stones or be a little demented to do that. Now,
fair comment.
Again, I have no issue with Max Dupree being an opinionista. He should be. I like the fact that there are people with those opinions. But imagine me having the gall in the 1980s to call Max Dupree a moron when he was standing up to real danger. He was at a newspaper that was like, for all intents and purposes, under siege every other day. Imagine me going at him in the 1980s or 90s and saying, yeah, this guy's a lapdog to someone. He was absolutely the opposite of that. He was a courageous journalist who we all were right to admire. And he did an enormous amount to push this country in the right direction. And I have no doubt that this country would have been a worse place had Max Dupree not been a part of it. Okay?
Yeah, fair.
Having said that, he's been wrong ever since, like, I don't know, 2010, somewhere around there. I'm not going to keep... You can go look it up. Find how many things he's written that just haven't happened. To go after Elon, because this isn't about me. Like, it's not... I don't have a problem with Max. Max, I don't think even knows who I am. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. To go after Elon and call him a lapdog. I mean, like, here's a businessman who's brave enough. If only we had businessmen in this country who were brave enough to stand up against the government or to throw their weight behind a candidate publicly. They're all so craven, so spineless, so lily-livered that there isn't a single business person in South Africa who would even tell you what they voted.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid. They're just pathetic. And here's a guy who is sending rockets up into the sky. He is inventing new devices, new forms of transport. He's superhero in the world of technology and innovation. And he's got a brave, like, courageous temperament. He's able to stand up for things that he believes are right or wrong. So when Max says that, it's like, credibility is a little low on that front.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he then says to me, and this is where it gets to, I'm sorry to drag this out for so long, but it is funny. He goes to me now, like, because it's about me. It can't be about Elon. You're a walking caricature, dude. Alt-right pod bro, Trump groupie, COVID denier, Musk disciple, calling everything your bigoted mind doesn't like woke, probably climate change denier and part of the crypto club. So I'm trying to figure out which one of those is an insult. But
that's the exact same thing when I read that. It's like, is there a bottom line here that goes back and makes it look bad?
I don't know. I mean, it is hilarious. But the fact that this guy who, like, used to have so much cred is, like, arguing with me. So anyway, my response was, see what I mean, Max? You don't need to respond to me if you think I'm a joke. But you have. Now go to sleep. It's past your bedtime.
Fitting.
I don't know. It's just, it drives me crazy how people think. And politics is obviously hugely important to him, right?
Mm. But I also think that if you just take it away from Max, I think journalism in general, and we saw it with CNN, who got so upset that they didn't own news anymore. That's why they hated Joe Rogan. The whole podcast bro thing started. It's not easy doing what you do, Gareth. You get up and you talk, and you have to be accountable for your opinions. You have to present. You have to have confidence. And that's another thing, is a lot of journalists could have been podcasts because they could have ridden that wave. That's how media works, right? You try to get them to the
forefront. Stop, Ben. Very important feedback from Surviving Life. Says, Gareth needs some pushback from his co-host. Society moves forward when there's diversity of opinions or ideas.
Is this,
oh, really?
Is this your first show?
Oh, it's great. The richest man on earth is a laptop. No, I think you mean lapdog, but lap dog.
Yeah, it's weird. I saw another, I forget his name now, again, a local sort of celebrity in South Africa calling Elon so stupid. Like, wow, on what basis do you get to bark at that dog?
So just by the way, I mean, like, I'm not an Elon disciple, okay? I don't have an electric car.
I think that's stupid.
I don't want to go to Mars. I don't think that that's massively important in my life. I haven't read the Elon biography like everybody seems to have. Remember when everyone was reading Richard Branson? I didn't read that either. So I don't know that I'm an Elon disciple at all. I just think this is an incredible human being who just on merit deserves a little more credit than people are giving him, especially people who are politically. He was fine, by the way. Let's just remember, Elon Musk was fine until he came out against the Democrats. Then suddenly he became persona non grata.
Exactly.
So if you guys, if you were at least consistent and you've hated him all along, I'd say, okay, cool. Maybe you met him at Boys High years ago and he was just a douche to you and you hated him ever since. I'll say, okay, well, you know what? You're consistent.
Yes.
But it was only at the moment that he threw his weight behind the Republicans and Donald Trump that people became anti-Elon. Before that, he was their hero. He was saving the environment. He was a tech bro. He was all of those things. Don't tell me that we've reached a point in society where merit means so little that everybody believes in their diseased minds that they're all equal. Mm. Like, you are not equal to everyone else. You're just not. I'm not. Ben is not. There are things he can do that I can't do.
Yeah.
There are things that I do that he can't do. There are things that you're going to be shit at, and you will be judged by people on that, whether or not people in the media tell you that's how it works. You know? Yeah. Who cares, Gareth, says Ricky. Okay, Ricky's got a lot to say here. Let me just see. Who cares, Gareth? What is wrong with supporting Elon and being a fan of his? One of the smartest guys that ever lived, takes humanity forward. He supports free speech. What is there not to like? Well, I'll tell you what, you're spot on. We're not arguing.
See, and that's what I can't push back against. Everything Gareth said there it's facts. It's true. It's
Come on,
sensible.
Ben, push back against it.
No, I push back a lot of things against you, but that is it's just common sense. The oak has balls. He has vision. He wants to do something. He's not just trying to get a job for the next 4 years.
The greatest thing that man has done for humanity has nothing to do with rockets or electric cars. The fact that he bought Twitter and made it a place where everybody's voice gets a chance, even if you're saying absolute horseshit things, is the greatest thing he's done. Free speech, and he said this, I do sound like an Elon disciple now, but he said, free speech is the reason that America is better than China. China's got brilliant, brilliant people who have brilliant ideas, but the reason that China will never do as well as America and that communism will never beat capitalism is because you need competition. And in a competitive environment, everybody has to have the right to say what they think and to do what they say. And that can't happen under an autocratic communist regime.
It's literally where innovation lives. And the thing about China is that they keep churning out all these amazing engineers, but they're not that innovative because they can't be Elon's.
Shut up, pod bro.
I'm putting pod
bro. Is that a thing, by the way? I mean, like, do people use that term?
No, it often gets used, but again,
but not by people who do podcasts.
No, it's just living their lives. But it's a derogatory term, which I think is a massive compliment. It really is. I'm going to put that in my social media bios. Pod bro.
Sean says, Gareth, your producer's controlling the volume throughout the entire show. Is either slightly deaf or he needs a puss clap or he needs to be shown. Yes, it's very angry, Sean.
Yes, Sean, it's been a tough morning already, huh?
Grant says, Ben, have you recovered from Auntie Ruda? We haven't heard from you since. We asked you to blink if you were safe. What, he's been on the show the whole morning.
Grant, I have a weekly show. I'm always here.
In fact,
what do you
Ben
want from me?
Interviewed his hero yesterday.
I did. I got to, yeah. Yeah, we put together a little pod series, a little pod bro series for the Nedbank Golf Challenge with Sun International. And Gary was obviously the anchor guest of this five-part series. it was quite something, you know, to have him in our Real Network studios. I mean, obviously it's a big honor for me, but I think it was an even bigger honor for young James and Tion, who could have been part of the production yesterday. I mean, I know he's going to look back on this year, all the things that happened, and James will know that the Gary Player moment was it.
We'll get to sport in a second. I see Carl says he has blocked people he does not agree with. Elon? Max?
No, I'm assuming that would be Max.
Oh, Max. Well, whoever it is, I mean, you have the right to decide who you want to hear from. You're allowed to block people, especially, like, sure. You've got to judge people, right? If you invite someone to a party and they're boring and you hate talking to them, you never invite them again. Mm-hmm. You don't have to keep inviting them. Just the same way as if you go to lunch with a girl on a speed date and she's extremely irritating, you don't have to have a second date.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
You don't. If someone embarrasses and humiliates themselves by saying really stupid shit on social media, you are allowed to block them. You don't have to keep listening. There is no rule in the world that says you have to listen to nonsense. So I don't know where you're going with that, Carl, but
well, I think it's more
even I defend Max's right to block me if he feels like it.
Which, of course, because that's a right that you have. But I think it's what Carl's picking up here is that trend of, like, if someone doesn't agree with you, you don't engage with them, you just don't want to talk to them. And it's the head in the sand kind of thing. I think that's what Carl was getting at.
Sure. There are two different things there. I mean, yes. you can block someone because they're ruining your day and making your timeline irritating.
But the left doesn't debate. And we've seen that so many times now. And again, it's the absence of them on just like a Joe Rogan podcast. They won't go to a pod bro because they've got nothing to say and they'll be shown up. Because pod bros ask good questions.
Carl, why are you gay? Says Bitcoin Boot. All right, let's do some sport because Ben isn't here just for his health.
I am. It makes me invigorated being here.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, there's Ben and Gary. There's yesterday.
There's the great Gary Player, everybody. Look at that.
Now, I know that image looks sterile, but it was just full of warmth and love. And that interview will come out relatively soon.
How long did you talk to him?
We probably chatted flat out for about 25, 27 minutes. And then obviously there were some pleasantries either side. But yeah, it's cool. It's going to be a really cool podcast series because that golf event, it's the same age as me. Obviously, Gary built the golf course that it was played upon. He was one of the original men there. He was one of the... In the first year, there was five people that played that tournament.
Did he talk about apartheid?
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, look, you can... What you get for 25 minutes out of Gary is that you get everything. Absolutely everything. And we'll do our best to edit it in such a way that... Look, it'll be one of those things that the family sits down together and watches.
For those who are confused, we are not in the studio because they were busy sorting some technical issues out, but we're in the building, so we'll be in the studio just after 7. But there's no point in us getting up or walking there now and interrupting the show. You spoke about Gary, but did you speak about Dale Hayes?
Yeah. Geez, Dale's lost weight.
Yeah. That's a great picture of me. And people have said I look like Dale Hayes, so that's what I've got to look forward to if I don't look after myself.
Yeah, but I think you're still looking quite dapper for 83 there, Gareth.
All right, what's going on in the sport? Go on.
Okay, so sport right
over
now.
Over to Ben.
Yeah, fantastic weekend. A really weird thing happened in cricket recently. New Zealand went to India and absolutely dicked them in a test series. So New Zealand only have, I've said this many times over the years in the show, in New Zealand, there are so many sports that have to be contact sports, so rugby league, right, rugby union, and then guys fight a lot. So not a lot of people play cricket. Basically, it's the skinny white guys that play cricket a lot of the time in New Zealand. So it's a very small pool. But these Oaks, they punch above their weight so much that I just wish that we had that sort of playbook here for the Proteas. They beat India 2-0 in the first... So they're 2-0 up. In the third test, I mean, they've already won the series. Now they're just showboating. They won the toss at 33-1. So you've got test cricket to look forward to there. Now, I know it looks like a dead rubber after New Zealand have won, but India are about to go to Australia and they're going to play a 5-test series. So this game is huge for them. So it's not like, oh, we'll give this a chance or whatever. This test is so big for India right now. And if they get dicked again, cheapers, the Aussies are going to be, you know, Aussies, I know they've gone soft. But at the same time, if you go into their country in the 5-test series with blood in the water, they are going to go extra, extra, extra hard.
Hey, by the way, I heard an interesting statistic yesterday that 1 in 4 Australian men is the victim of violence from a woman. And that's lower than in America, where it's one in every two.
What does that say about the Aussie woman, though? Because I know the men are going softer, but Aussie woman that hardcore?
Nah.
Go on holiday and go backpacking in Thailand. You'll get the answer for that. Right, Premier League. So obviously Arsenal is going to bounce back. Last weekend it was so frustrating. They should have absolutely hammered Liverpool. Liverpool not having a good day, but Arteta is. I think he needs more penetration. He really does. And I hate sitting here and saying that because we've dropped points, you know. We've had the red cards and he just stops playing. So hugely frustrating. But again, Arsenal have more players back. They're going to have much more of a first team. They're playing against Newcastle. They'll be at 2:30 on Saturday. Liverpool will be hosting Brighton at 5 to try and keep their, you know, really good run going. They are top of the log currently. Bournemouth are hosting Man City. Now, Man City lost in the Carabao Cup this week, so they're going to bounce back heavy there, I would imagine. And then Sunday, an invigorated Spurs will be taking on Aston Villa. That's going to be a great game. And then Man United with Ruud van Nistelrooy currently holding the reins there. They're taking on Chelsea. No, Ruud van Nistelrooy, it was the assistant guy. Erik ten Hag, the bald Dutch guy, he got fired.
Oh, okay.
So he's out in his ass. But feel no sorrow for him, because when you get fired as a manager, they pay you out your contract, right? So it's like they had like a 3-year deal, and Ajax better be giving him a cut on all those guys that Man United overpaid for, who then did nothing once they got to Old Trafford. So Ruud van Nistelrooy, he's in charge of the Carabao Cup against Leicester, and Man United absolutely hammered them. So yeah, it's again, Man United is the gift that keeps on giving, whether it's to laugh at them or just to be in awe of the fact that they win pointless games by huge margins. They are amazing. Locally, there are the Carling Knockout Cup games. So Richards Bay versus Cape Town City on Saturday, along with Kaizer Chiefs versus Sundowns at 6. Being dubbed as the rematch because Chiefs fans believe that in their league match early in the season, they were done over by the fact that we can't afford VAR. And then Sunday, there's two more games there. Galants versus Stellenbosch at 3, and then TS Galaxy versus Magesi at 3. So the highlight for me this weekend, I mean, I know England are playing New Zealand in Test rugby, so the whole autumn series kicks off heavily next week with everybody playing. This week, you've just got New Zealand versus England, and then Scotland are hosting Fiji. But what I really want to get into before we get to 7 o'clock is how damn exciting the Grand Prix has suddenly become.
Oh?
So 4 races to go. Max has a 47-point lead on... do you want to get in here, guys?
No, just listening.
So Max has a 47-point lead with 4 races to go over Lando Norris, who is surging. Now, I think it was going into the Belgian Grand Prix, Max had a 10-race penalty slapped upon him because he used an extra power unit. You get 4 engines per season. If you go over that, you then get penalties. So Max used the 5th, 10th-place penalty. He's now about to use his 6th engine, so he really needs the points right now because it's all one-way traffic. Everyone's coming to him. He's not pulling away from them. But because he's already taken a 10-place penalty, it'll be more like he'll have a 5-race penalty at the Sao Paulo Grand Prix this weekend, which is still massive. But what's also massive is in the last few races, he's been left behind on the straights. You cannot be competitive at this level if you're not going to be the absolute fastest. And the thing about an F1 engine is, yes, he's gone through 4, but because they are so hectically high-powered, once they get to a certain range, it's not like your Suzuki Swift. It loses so much power, and those 2-3% is what means either 1st or 5th. So Max is up against it. They're putting the last roll of the dice in this new engine with 4 races. This weekend at Sao Paulo, it is a sprint race as well, so he needs everything he's got there. The Constructors' Championship is long gone. Checo Perez has been absolutely shite. So, I mean, if you don't love Formula One by now, you may never, 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 never love it. It's just, there's so much happening. Ferrari coming back.
I never thought I'd hear these words.
Me either, because we all like Grand Prix for certain aspects, but there's different layers that are now coming out about it. And if Max wins this world championship, I mean, he's going to win many for the rest of his life. He's already won a few. I think this would be one of the most iconic kind of ways of going about it. He started like an absolute raging bull, like a raging Red Bull. And his car was good, you know, and then his abilities took him further. But he's been treading water for the last 2 months. And if he can hang on and win this thing in Abu Dhabi, I think it's going to be absolutely incredible. So yeah, that's pretty much it for your sport this weekend. Formula One in Sao Paulo, so it's going to be late at night, just like the other ones we've had. Chiefs versus Sundowns in the Carling Cup knockouts on Saturday. Loads of Premier League. And if you like cricket, this India-New Zealand Test Series has been phenomenal. Just remember, next week, India comes here. We have the SA versus India T20 Series that'll be starting next Friday. Huge amounts of cricket for the summer. So damn excited.
Always good. Tracy says, true story, the Sheilas are hardcore in Australia. A good friend is a copper in Oz, and 90% of his call-outs are domestic violence, where the women are the perps. Tough place.
Yeah, Aussie men do better. Yeah, just going to say, do really better.
Outrageous.
Become more masculine, I think. Become more, just not enough pod bros in Australia.
And that's it. That's the problem. Because when you think pod bros, you don't think of Australia.
I would like to run a separate test, Gareth. How many pod bros have been beaten up by a woman?
Probably none.
That was going to be my top
of the... fair guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We only got a little bit of time before we take a break and get back in the studio. Yeah. But I think, yeah, this is quite funny. Here's a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio and of Britney. And the caption here is, we all dreamed of looking like Leo and Britney when we were teenagers, and now we finally do. Look at them. Look at them. Nothing to be ashamed of if you look anything better than those, which is not a hard business. Jesus, Britney. I think one of my groups of friends has just suddenly discovered Britney Spears again and all of her embarrassing videos that she keeps putting out. But
she looks like one of those meme raccoons who's just stolen food, and it's like the sugar content in that stolen food was higher than they thought, and they look wired, edgy, and unreliable.
It's the same group as Rosie O'Donnell. It's the same thing. I mean, Rosie's much older, much uglier, but Britney's just as embarrassing. I mean, it's really that bad.
Gareth, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't like to talk about Britney anymore, but it's just sad what Hollywood can do to you. But the thing is, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is fat because who's he got to impress?
Oh, look at that guy. Got a lot of work to do there, too.
Great jersey. I love how on that picture you've worn the most grandpa jersey I've ever seen you in.
All right, well, there we go. And then you'll all know who Gorlock the Destroyer is. I saw this picture yesterday, which made me laugh.
Hollywood can't break Gorlock.
At the bottom of them is all the girls on that podcast, which I've actually never watched an episode of this podcast. I only see the clips, and have you watched it?
Let me guess. It's a podcast, but the podcast bro comes out well.
I think he's quite good.
I don't think those girls come out well on this.
No, I don't think so. In fact, somebody said that they watched that podcast. What's it called? Like whatever pod or something. Somebody said that they were watching it, and they think it is disgusting that there's a podcast that makes women look stupid.
Well, someone could say a podcast that makes women look accountable or makes women accountable. That's the other side of that coin.
No one's making them look stupid. They're choosing to sit in front of the microphone. They're being asked questions, and they come out stupid, which must mean that they're stupid, which must mean it's not somebody's fault except them.
Yeah.
Accountability starts with you. If someone is embarrassing you, you see, I've never seen a guy or a white person or a tall person embarrass themselves and thought, oh, that reflects badly on me. You know, if Ben, as a fellow white, goes out today and axe murders 17 people, I'm not suddenly going to go, oh, that's very bad. You know, my first thought won't be, you know, Ben's done a real ringer on the white people here. This is very bad.
Don't worry, white people, I won't.
Yeah, and I also, if you went and did that and then people said, oh, men, you see, these men are so embarrassing, I'd be like, I'm not ex-murdering anybody. Don't lump me in with Ben just because he's also a man.
Yeah.
And the same goes for any other group. Why are you feeling responsible for a bunch of stupid chicks on a podcast when they're behaving like stupid chicks? Why would you think that reflects on you unless you're also a stupid chick? Ah, I may have solved your problem. All right, it's 7 o'clock. We'll be back with the show live from the studio next. Don't go anywhere.
Why aren't you going to do courses that upskill you?
Mm.
I don't know why filmmakers don't do that. You know, go and learn tricks. Man, I saw that shot. Mm. How did you do it?
Yeah.
That is what we need.
Especially like for the younger ones, you know, like up-and-coming filmmakers, up-and-coming videographers. go and watch YouTube videos. I swear, that's what we do here, believe it or not. And we also just puzzling along, is that you go and you upskill yourself and say, okay, well, how did this other guy do this? They've shot this thing and they've edited it in such a way that it's like, this is what we produce. And that's really, I think, that's the best way to get noticed. They make up for in skills what they lack in equipment.
Correct.
If you're an aspiring videographer, I'd approach a team and I'd be like, yo, I want to come and film. I'm going to come with my guys and we're going to make the most hot content.
The pro tears.
Yeah. There's a comment here from Signet. I used to love cricket. The IPL killed it for me. I don't watch anymore. Also, the pro tears. See, I mean,
that's the last line is the most important.
But you know what? That is like a short story in one sentence. I used to love cricket. There's the we all were there. IPL did kill it.
I just arrived. I was quite excited about the evening. Well, fuck. I mean, the first mistake I made was to say,
how are you?
How are you?
And what did she say?
Well, not great. Not great. Then I made the second cardinal mistake. I said, why?
And you should have just shut up and moved on.
I should have said, John, I'm sorry. See you later. I said, why? What's happened? I was confused. I just arrived. I was excited. I wasn't thinking straight. I hadn't put on my anti-victim armor yet. I wasn't expecting it. I was at a friend's birthday party.
People love it. It's so easy because you don't have to earn it. It's just you find something in your life that makes you slightly uncomfortable. Oh, there's something in my shoe.
Well, victims can't generate their own happiness.